The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have some, I would call it Met news, but there's a Met story that Will Salmon of The Athletic just put out there. We'll get to that coming up in just 1 second. But if you missed it earlier, Brian Cashman did meet the media down in Tampa. And we found out that Aaron Judge will go for re-imaging next week. Cashman, quote, "I don't think we're anticipating it's coming back clean. I think we're anticipating and hopeful that it's showing the healing process." My initial prediction for Judge when this all broke a little while ago, or when in a little while ago, meaning in days and weeks, not in hours. But I said that Judge would be back mid-August. Now when I hear this news, I'm probably going to push it back to late August, early September. Still enough time to get your sea legs, get your swing, get your body going where it needs to be, get a couple of major league games under your belt, a month's worth, and be ready to go for October. But in the meantime, this team's got to step up. Ben Rice was able to do it. Bellinger, who's been slumping, had I think a couple hits today, he's got to get going. You know, they paid Bellinger a lot of money, and Bellinger's a good player. You know, I wanted him on the Mets. I think he made sense for both local teams. Great fielder, very versatile, won an MVP. There's a lot to like about him, but this is the time where if you're Bellinger, you got to step up. You know, can't just be Ben Rice. The offense is struggling, Goldschmidt's struggling, Wells is just on another level of struggling, Volpe's struggling. The offense as a whole is not hitting, and this is where a Bellinger needs to step up and be that guy to carry the mantle along with Ben Rice. Until you get Stanton back, Judge back, reinforcements here through the trade deadline. And then in the meantime, obviously you hope that a Paul Goldschmidt will snap out of this. And look, Goldschmidt was so good to start the year. It was unrealistic expectations to think Paul Goldschmidt was going to keep up the pace that he had early in the year. Because it was ridiculous, the numbers he was compiling. You know, those were prime Paul Goldschmidt numbers. He's not that guy anymore for 162. He could give you a couple months of it, because he clearly did it this year, but to expect that month after month after month is just, it's not happening at his age. But he will snap out of this. This is not what he's going to be for the rest of the year. Well, that's where guys like Bellinger and Rice have to sort of take the bull by the horns, and they have to lead this team offensively to get them out of this funk. And Bryce did that today, and now Bellinger's got to kind of do the same. But this was a much needed win for the Yankees. They could ill afford to lose any more ground to Tampa, especially heads up. You want to be able to have that tiebreaker, and the Yankees have a lot of work to do because I think they have to beat the Rays the rest of the year in every single matchup to get that tiebreaker. But look, you're not going to get it in one day. You got to take that one game at a time. But as we saw last year, if you don't have the tiebreaker like they did against Toronto or didn't have it against Toronto, it ultimately ended up coming back to bite the Yankees in the behind, and they lost out on the division because of a tiebreaker. And they weren't able to host the NLDS, and Toronto sent the Yankees home packing early. Or they sent them packing home early. I think I might have messed that phrase up. That's okay. I put words there that probably shouldn't have been there. Words out of order. It's okay. It's a couple hours left in the show. What do you want from me? It's a full week here. Not really even a full week because I was off for one day, but it's really 4 days in a row. What do you want from me? I worked 4 days in a row. What do you expect me to work 5 days in a row? I always said that there are work weeks are too long. They shouldn't be 5 days. They should be 4 days. They've really become that now when you think about it. And then you have one day. You know, most people work 4 days a week. They work two from home. So they're really working like 2.5 days a week. But I was saying this, you know, pre-COVID. I was like, really, the work week is way too long. 5 hours? Excuse me, 5 days? It should always have been four. And you should have a day off. I always said that you should have 4 day work week, 1 day off during the week, and you get to pick which day that is. It could be Monday, it could be Wednesday, it could be Friday, whatever the case may be. And then obviously you have your traditional weekend on Saturday and Sunday. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Like I said, Will Salmon of The Athletic has some news on the Mets, a story on the Mets that we will get into coming up in just 1 second. Then, of course, your calls if you'd like to join the conversation. You want to talk Mets, Knicks, Yankees, football, whatever's on your mind for the final 2 hours. The number to reach me is 888-808-1019. Let's start off here this hour with Paulie in Greenwich. What's up, Paulie?
Yo, Loogie, what's up, man? Listen, I apologize. I was supposed to send you the hat and shirt. I got into a car accident, so...
Hopefully everything's all right, Paulie. You good? Everything's good?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, okay. Just my shoulder hurts a little bit, but I'm going to send it this weekend. I just want to apologize to you.
No apology needed. Oh, I'm glad everything is okay with you.
I want to throw you a curveball. Like, So if I'm the Yankees, like, there's no guarantee that Judge is going to come back. So maybe we need to go out and get a guy, not that nobody could be Judge, but maybe we need to go out and get a power hitter just in case he don't come back. Because if he don't come back, then what happens then? Then if Stanton gets hurt, we're done.
Well, Stanton doesn't come back either. I mean, I would say Stanton, if you're worried about Judge coming back, then you should be worried about Stanton coming back because he's had another sort of injury here, another calf strain. So he's kind of in the same boat as Judge as far as there's not really a timetable necessarily for his return. Now, the name that I've thrown out there is Hunter Goodman, who is a power hitter. He also serves in a need at catcher. He's got 27 home runs. He is a big-time power bat, right-handed bat, so he would give you the catcher, and he would give you the power.
All right. Thank you, Luke. I appreciate it. I just wanted to apologize to you personally.
No, don't apologize at all, man. Your car all right? Everything else all right? Everybody good?
Yeah,
no one was hurt in the car?
No, just my shoulder, but I'm okay, though. It's been a while, but I'm back to work now, so I just want to let you know that I'm going to be sending it out this weekend, all right?
It's funny because Rosenberg brought this up. He's like, do you ever get that stuff? And I go, nah, but I'm not one to... He's a snorer. I'm not one to sit there on the air and be like, where does my stuff? You know what I mean? So it's all good. I appreciate you thinking about me. So it's all good.
Yeah. All right. Take care, brother.
Yeah, you got it, dude. You too. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. Will is calling from New Rochelle. What's up, Will?
How are you?
Good. What's shaking?
Listen, you literally just brought it up. Hunter Goodman, if you look at the National League stats, he's got 27 home runs. That's one less than Ben Rice. I don't think that the Rockies are going to just necessarily toss him away like they did Ryan McMahon because we took the money. Like, he is somebody on a very young deal.
Yep,
that's
got a couple years of control.
Mention his name. Exactly. Like, if the Rockies want to be serious, there's no way you're going to give up your Ben Rice because he's got 27. Ben has 28.
Do they want to be serious, though? I don't know. They're obviously better than they were last year. They got 38 wins, which for them is good considering where they were the last couple of years. I'm not saying automatically he's going to be available and the Yankees are going to get him for a song and a dance, but if Colorado were to make him available, he would be the best hitting catcher that they would be able to acquire by leaps and bounds. If he's not available, then you have to go sort of a tier below Goodman because I don't think there's going to be a guy of his stature as far as ability that's going to be out there.
For sure. I mean, there's really no catcher available that has 27 home runs in the MLB. So let me ask you a question because I haven't heard him mentioned in trading up like rumors at all, but the Royals are no good.
Nope.
We need righty power, hitting, catching. Salvador Perez kind of said after the World Baseball Classic, he wins with Venezuela. Like, maybe you get Salvador Perez for the back end, but if I can may very quickly as well. Mm-hmm. I like Salvador Perez. Maybe you get a bullpen arm, maybe a Schreiber, maybe an E. Craig, but the Yankees need a Yandy Diaz type. We haven't had that since 2019 DJ LeMahieu when he hit 330. Yandy Diaz goes 4-for-4 yesterday. Gerrit Cole looked good, but Yandy went 4-for-4. The Yankees lack that currently. So
totally agree.
Daz Chisholm, contract year.
Yep.
Luis Arraez is getting thrown around in,
I've thrown his
in
name out
trade
there.
Rumors. Mm-hmm. I would switch them too. I don't care about the defense. They're like, the Yankees need Arraez more than they need Jazz.
Yeah,
right
they need somebody that can make contact and not strike out and get on base and sort of set the table for some of these guys. And listen, the Yankees are right now bottom five in strikeouts. No team that's ever been bottom five in strikeouts has won the World Series. They have got to correct that. They got to start getting guys in this lineup that make some type of contact. You can't just be swinging and missing because when you get to October, you're going to be in major trouble.
And you know what I think amazes me? This was a great stat I heard today during the game, which thankfully, thank the Lord, hallelujah, we got 14 hits, we scored 12 runs. Mm-hmm. What a magnificent. You're going into a Washington series where Yankee fans, don't take them lightly. They have scored the most runs in the MLB.
You don't have to tell me. I'm a Met fan. So they score a million runs. They have a great young offense with Wood and Abrams. They can score runs in bunches. They can't pitch, but they could score. They have a great offense.
For sure can.
So maybe it's just with the doctor order, though, for them, because you're facing a weak pitching staff, and maybe the Yankees could get fat off that.
Exactly, and then you can shut down the, you know, high-scoring offense. You got Ryan Weathers. You need a good start going into the break. You got Schlittler going as well beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The stat that blew me away today, because I'm sure you get 75% of calls, people calling in, oh, we got to get a better bullpen. Everybody that watches the Yankees knows they need a bullpen arm or two. Maybe Ryan Weathers goes to the bullpen. Mm-hmm. And you call up LeGrand, hey, and then you don't even need to. You can hear.
I think he's hurt. I think he's dealing with something though, maybe a shoulder or something like that. But yeah, well, Weathers would
he
make
is
sense
a little bit. Weathers for sure, because Max Fried's coming back.
Yep.
The Yankees had the best bullpen ERA in the MLB. That's unbelievable to me. Unbelievable, because you look at this bullpen, you're like, eh, I don't love it. I don't love it personally. I don't trust it. I don't love it. I don't like it. If I was on Hinge, I'm swiping right. I'm good.
Yeah, I hear you. I would probably swipe everybody, though, if I was single. Why not? You know, more. I would put more eggs in the basket. That's just me. That would be my strategy with that. Now, you mentioned a couple of minutes ago Salvador Perez. And to me, he just feels like a Royal, like, lifer, a Kansas City Royal lifer. He's obviously not the offensive production. He's not the producer that he used to be offensively as far as a catcher. He used to be a guy that could hit 40 home runs. He's no longer that player, but he's a leader. He's a winner. So you would get that. And he does have 11 home runs this year, which, you know, he'd be good for maybe 20 on the year. I don't know if the Royals would want to move him. I don't know if he has a no-trade clause. I'll double-check that in one of these breaks. But I've always liked him. I have a ton of respect for him. I think he's going to the Hall of Fame. He's obviously won a World Series. He has just been a rock and such a leader and a captain for that team for so long. And I don't know how much he has left in the tank as far as a player goes, but he would be an upgrade over Wells, although who wouldn't be at this point. But you like that leadership. He's been in a lot of big games. See how many times he struck out this year. That's because right now I don't want to add strikeouts to this team. That's the last thing you want to do. They are bottom five in strikeouts, and that is a major, major problem if you're trying to win a championship. Now, I think they're going to the World Series, but we're talking about championship to get to that next level and actually win one and have a parade. Let me see here. Salvador Perez, 72 strikeouts. Yeah, it's a good amount. It's a good amount, and he routinely strikes out over, you know, 125 times. So that's one of the things. But, you know, he hit 48 home runs, but that's already 5 years ago. But he did it 35 last year. So maybe it's just he's off to a, but he's 36 as a catcher. So maybe that was just sort of his last gasp at 38. But even if you could get to 28 the year before, 21, I would say it's probably closer to, well, yeah, 30 last year, my fault. 30 home runs and 27 the year before. So if he could, 23. So even if he could get to like 23 home runs, which he's certainly capable of with 11. 23 home runs, leadership, the strikeouts are still a problem, though. I'd be interested. I'd be interested. I would though, Goodman to me is the top candidate. And if the Rockies are interested in giving him up, which, look, I understand they're a team on the mend. They're rebuilding. They've obviously been awful for years. And I don't know if they would be interested in trading one of their best players or the best player on their team, especially with a few years under control. But if they are, that's somebody that I would be interested in. Okay, so this Mets story that I've been teasing for a little bit, let me just pull this up here. This is from Will Salmon, The Athletic. Clay Holmes is, quote, definitely open to a midseason extension with the Mets, despite his $12 million player option for 27. I would be all over this if I was the Mets. I would sign Clay Holmes to an extension immediately. Holmes was, I thought, really good in his first year from a reliever to a starter. That performance that he had in the second-to-last game of the year last year against the Marlins, it allowed the Mets to see another day. And then this year, Clay Holmes took his game to the next level. He was giving you more innings. He was pitching to a sub-2 ERA. He was the ace of the staff, Clay Holmes was. And my feeling was he was only going to get better and better and better, which is a testament to him, and it's also a testament to David Stearns identifying Clay Holmes as somebody that can transition from a reliever to a starting pitcher and be an effective one. And not only was Holmes effective this year, he was dominant at times, especially when you consider that ERA. And you can count on him every 5 days to be a stopper. I think Clay Holmes has found a home here. I think the Mets, especially when you consider, right, you got McClain, you got Christian Scott, you could pencil those two guys in for next year. Everybody else is kind of a wild card. It would be nice to have Holmes there as your top three. And it sounds like he's open, at least according to this report from Will Salmon, that Clay Holmes is open to a midseason extension, which means he's not looking to opt out. We haven't heard anything like that from a Bo Bichette, but you are hearing it from Clay Holmes. And if I was David Stearns, if I was the Mets, I would jump all over this. Because I don't think you have to give him a 6-7-8-year deal or anything crazy like that. But a 3-4-year deal for the way Clay Holmes has pitched in the year and a half that he's been a starter and with the Mets, I think he certainly has earned that extension. And he's proven now with both teams that he can handle the market, he can handle the bright lights, he can handle the pressure, he can handle New York City. And this team, the Mets, like their rotate, like when Holmes got hurt, which was an unfortunate freak accident. I mean, he got hit with a line drive off of Spencer Jones, his bat. And a lot of times you take a ball off the leg and you live to talk about it. And in this spot, Clay Holmes got hurt, went on the IL, and now I know he's throwing bullpen sessions, so hopefully he's back soon. But I am very much interested / wanting him to be a Met further than just this season. I don't view him as trade bait. I don't view him as somebody that you just ride out for the rest of the year and hope he doesn't opt out. No. I would sign him to an extension, Clay Holmes, and I would lock him up for a whole bunch of years. Especially when you consider this rotation, and you've already traded Peterson. Senga's not long for the team. I don't think Manaea's long for the team. You like Scott, you like McClain. We'll see what ends up happening with Peralta, Tong, some of the guys that are down in the minors. But it's not like you have a set 5-6-man rotation or anything like that. Like, Holmes should be a big part of this team going forward. And people have asked me, okay, what would be the first step or first priority in the offseason for the Mets? And for me, it's hiring Alex Cora, and then two would be signing Skubal. You extend Holmes now, you sign Skubal in the offseason. Now, all of a sudden, you got a 5-man rotation that's looking pretty damn good. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Sonny's in Malvern. What's up, Sonny?
Logie, how you doing, kid?
Hey, what's happening?
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard that very possible that the Mets are looking to unload Lindor. I don't know if you talked about that yet.
Yeah, I talked about it a bunch this week, but what's your thoughts on it?
Listen, tell you the truth, I would have gotten rid of Lindor last year because he was more tradable. It was prior to the injuries, obviously. The real talks about Soto and him not getting along were factual, because now they're saying it's still an issue. Unfortunately, this is Soto's team.
Well, when you say they, what do you mean by the? Who do you mean by they? What do you mean by that?
The Mets brass.
Well, Steve Cohen went on Joel Sherman and John Heyman's podcast, and he said, I'm paraphrasing, but he said their relationship is doing better now, which would imply good. To be fair to everybody, but yes, right. He is saying it's gotten better than it was.
You know when he has to address that, there's still a problem, right?
He didn't have to address it. He kind of addressed it himself. Right. He basically shined a light on it and made it more of a topic again.
Yeah, the problem was this was Lindor's team before Soto came here. They gave Soto too much money. They gave him a boatload of money, way too much money, in my opinion. When you bring in a guy like that, he breaks up the chemistry of the team. I'm sorry. It's just human nature that people are going to feel that way. There was no reason I don't want to go back to the old history of, the polar bear.
Right.
But they should have never gotten rid of him. I'm surprised Stearns is getting a second bite of the apple here. He destroyed this team, destroyed the whole Mets organization as far as I'm concerned. I think they just had to improve. a little thing here and there.
Okay, but my pushback would be he didn't destroy a team that won back-to-back championships. So when you say he destroyed the team,
but they
made the NLCS the first year that he was here, so he deserves credit for that. Then last year they had the best record in baseball for the first couple months, and then at the end of the year they just or second half of the year they didn't win enough games obviously to get in, but they were this close to getting to the playoffs back-to-back years. And then this year, injuries, a couple things bit them in the butt, and they were unable to, be where they're with a better record at this point. I don't think that's destroying the team. I mean, do you like Benj? Do you like Ewing? Do you like some of the things you're seeing with the Soto? Obviously, is having a monster year. So I think that's a little bit hyperbolic to say the team has been completely destroyed. But look, you're not alone in that statement. I disagree that the team has been destroyed.
And he took apart the whole team, Yugi.
But you're doing that.
A couple of young players.
I understand that, but you're doing that to a team that and a core that wasn't exactly super successful.
So what did you destroy? The whole thing that bothers me is Oliver. Listen, he wasn't a bad first baseman. Everyone, killed this guy, saying he was like the worst first baseman.
There were some things that was better than others. But okay, but how many wins does this Met team have with Pete Alonso this year?
And the other guys, don't forget, he looks pretty good, doesn't he, right now? If he was on the Met team.
Who?
And there was the pitching is the problem this year.
But you go back to Pete Alonso. What I would ask, because the Orioles are 43-51, what would Pete Alonso be on this team? What would their record be? The Mets.
Let's say he has 60 RBIs and 20 home runs right now.
Yeah, he'd have the same numbers.
But
you just said it there. So then why do you and everyone else keep going back to Pete Alonso? If you're identifying the problem of the Mets, then what does Pete Alonso have to do with it?
Because the Mets would have been a lot better off with Alonso in the lineup.
What would their record be?
I have no idea. They've had injuries with Lindor. That's
okay,
one thing.
All right.
Yes, he's had a monster year.
The Orioles have 43 wins.
Things would have been a lot different. You can't say what would their record be. Who knows? The chemistry would have been maybe a lot better with Alonso there. Who knows what the record may have been?
If you're identifying issues that the Mets have, I don't know how Pete Alonso would fix those issues. He's not a pitcher.
Who knows? It would have been a lot better than it is now. Let's put it that way. Yes
okay,
no.
so then, but I just give me a, then give me a couple of wins. Give me a number. Give me a number.
And they could have adjusted the pitching if they had more wins.
Adjusted
the
pitching.
Right now?
The Mets
What's
have 40
the
wins.
Right now?
They're 40-54.
Okay, reverse that. That's what they would have been.
They would have 54 wins with Pete Alonso.
Yep.
Okay. Appreciate the call, Sonny. I have asked that to three callers that have brought up Pete Alonso's name. Three in the last two nights. All three said the Mets would have 50 or more wins if Pete Alonso was on the team. 50 or more. All three of them. The Mets have 40 wins right now. So they say that Pete Alonso would equal 10 to 14 wins. The Orioles' record is 43-51. Pete Alonso's WAR is 1.9, which I'm not a big WAR guy, but essentially that would equate to two wins. Two wins. So 42-52. But a lot of people think it'd be 54 and 50 and 52. This is the exercise that we're going to do for the rest of the summer with the Pete Alonso stuff. It's not like they were making the playoffs year in and year out with Pete. And this is not me. Believe me, I love Pete, wanted Pete back. But at some point, we have to balance the universe here where it's kind of everything is sort of going in one direction with the Alonso stuff. And it just becomes so hyperbolic and so just... Also, let me remind a lot of my fellow Met fans who I love and adore. This is why I do the positive stuff, to be that guy to sort of take all the tomatoes that get thrown at him. Let me just remind a lot of the Met fans now that love and cherish Pete Alonso. Just remember what you were saying about him before he hit that home run off Devin Williams. Just remember. One home run changed your entire perception of him. Because... really, outside of positive Tommy that year, I think most Met fans were done with Pete Alonso. But now, all of a sudden, if Pete Alonso was on the Mets, they'd have the same record as the Braves. So we're going to play this game. This is going to be the exercise we're going to do throughout the summer. We're all about exercises here. We're all about playing games because it's easy to just say, they ruined the team. They destroyed the team. It penalized. Okay, well, then, as Herm Edwards said, put your name on it. Put a number on it. Put a record on it. And I love, too, when I hear, they ruined this team. If Pete Alonso was here, you know, the pitching stinks. Well, okay, so if Pete Alonso was here, would the pitching be better? So again, what would Pete Alonso have brought to this team record-wise? What would their record be? So you think with the bad pitching that you describe it to be, that Pete Alonso would equal 14 wins with his bat? If that's the case, then why do the Orioles have 43 wins? Why don't they have 54 wins? Well, because their pitching stinks. And around and around and around and around we go. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. If you're on hold, we will get to you. Another 90 minutes to go. Mets, Yankees, whatever's on your mind for the final couple of segments here. You can hear it in my voice. In the spirit of the World Cup, we're going to take a hydration break. I'm going to get a little water. I'm going to take a little bit of a respite here. You should do the same. But we'll be back. Like I said, your calls, 888-808-1019. It is after hours. Tommy Lugaro, Lugie the Late Night here on The Fan.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It is After Hours, final hour and a half here on the final After Hours of the week. The phone number to join the conversation, 888-808-1019. We'll get back to those calls in just one second here, but the Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. I continue to look at this Met outfield, although Ewing played the infield today, but Ewing, Bench, Soto, lot to love here. Soto, of course, generational talent. Carson Bench, who's really been up here from the beginning, is blossoming in his first year into a player to really get excited about. A.J. Ewing has been on a total heater here. I think he can be the future leadoff hitter for this team. He's got speed. He's got a little bit of pop. Hits for a high average. Great defense. Ball player. You know, he just does everything on a field, I think, that could help you win. And all of a sudden now, the Mets, with that outfield, Lindor back healthy, Polanco back healthy. Unfortunate what happened to Vientos. You know, I'm a big Vientos guy. And Mark Vientos is not a first baseman, so I know everybody wants to just tear him apart for his defense at first base. He was not the first option at first. He wasn't even the second option at first. Essentially, he's your third or fourth option going into the year to play first base. He's a DH. He can mash lefties. I still think he can help a baseball team and be a contributor on a baseball team. He just was put into a situation because of injuries. Polanco got hurt, Young got hurt, and then all of a sudden Mark Vientos has got to play first base every day, which was never, ever the plan. But with this offense starting to cook now, starting to put together some type of run here as far as double digits the other day against Atlanta, double digits against KC, then they scored six again against KC today. They broke the game open the other night in the ninth inning for a victory against the Royals. And I know it's Kansas City, but still, you're putting up big numbers. You're scoring runs. This lineup that we weren't able to see a lot this year because of injuries is pretty much, even with Vientos now going down, pretty much where you'd like it to be at as far as at full strength. Let's go to Steve in Freehold here on The Fan. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Lugie, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. I really don't understand how you could keep backing this David Stearns guy. Let me ask you a question. What position did you improve on this year from last?
They're improving. Their outfield is better.
Their outfield is better. So his plan was Luis Robert and you see smoke Kyle Tucker, right? Where's Robert? He's got a history of injuries, right? He's not here.
Well, they needed to get a major league center fielder. I love Tyrone Taylor, but he's more served as a backup. Luis Robert Jr., you got for a song and a dance. He didn't give up anything. Now he has an injury history, which obviously, unfortunately, ended up being the case this year where he got hurt, but it was low risk, high reward.
But you got the Syracuse Mets out there, though. I mean, this is not part of the
fact. Okay, you don't like the way A.J. Ewing is playing baseball, and you don't like the way Carson Bench is playing baseball?
I'm not saying that it's not, but that wasn't the general manager's plan to go in and say, we're going to start A.J. Ewing, Carson Bench.
No, I know it was the plan to start Bench this year. He started from opening day.
Well, he was supposed to be, if they got Tucker, was Bench going to be starting? No, because they already had Robert. So Robert would be in center. Soto would be in right. Tucker would be in left.
Tucker could have been an infielder DH. Outfielders. Okay, but they didn't get Tucker, so they got Bichette, who's actually starting to tear it up now over the last month.
Right. Bichette is another thing. He goes out and gets guys. You got 3 second basemen in your infield. I mean, Bichette's really got no arm.
Bichette's a shortstop. He's a shortstop by trade, and he's actually played good defense this year, all things considered.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have the arm for third. I mean, he's really not a third baseman. Let's face it. Second base, you got Simeon, who can't hit, right? He wasn't an upgrade from McDonald's.
No, but Simeon was more of a trade to open up the avenues for these younger players to play. And you get less years on his deal.
I guess you got an answer for everything, but
the Mets made the playoffs twice in the Pete Alonso era, and I'm sorry, but a lot of the fan base act like they got rid of Gehrig, Ruth, and Mantle.
No, they got rid of a guy that I would compare to Don Mattingly, to a Yankee fan who was
right. But this is we can't be sentimental. We have to root for the front of the jersey, not the back.
But you replace him with a guy that can't stay on the field, that's injured. That's
yeah. I mean, you know what? That's fair. That he wasn't healthy this year, and I think that's a big part of it. The replacement, if it was a Ryan O'Hearn or a Murakami or somebody that was putting up big numbers, it would be an easier pill to swallow. I think for a lot of people, the replacement ended up getting hurt.
The replacement got hurt, but who couldn't see that coming? Just like Robert, they won't even play him in the spring training, this guy.
Polanco came off, he's had an injury history, but he did have a big year last year for Seattle where he had big hits in October. And when healthy, he has been a good player.
Okay, how do you feel about Devin Williams?
I like the back end of the bullpen. I like Weaver. I like Devin Williams. You would want Edwin Diaz? I mean, listen, I did, but he's been out with injury and he's got, cockfighting allegations against him. So what kind of disaster would that be?
We can't predict that he's going to be out with an injury. No. And he had
Nor could you predict that Jorge Polanco would be out with an injury, even though he's had injury history.
Well, you can kind of. Him and you knew that Robert was going
to
be out.
Right, but you needed to get a center fielder here.
Carlos Stanton was going to play all year.
Yeah, I mean, Stanton's obviously Stanton's obviously worth his weight in gold in October. You understand that he's going to be out for parts of the year. You just sort of live with that.
Right, but I'm just saying, like Edwin, I would... When they wouldn't give Edwin Diaz that contract, and then they signed Devin Williams.
So I guess what I would say, Steve, is what would have been your off-season plan?
My off-season plan was not to change the whole team every single year.
Okay,
they had something good going in 2024.
Right, but in 2025 they missed the playoffs. They missed the playoffs.
They missed the playoffs.
Right.
So by how many games?
Okay, but look at what they had the first couple of months.
Is better this year than last year?
No, obviously they had a better record last year, but do you think that the idea of reshuffling, resetting, breaking up the core, and building a sustained winner, you don't think that's a good plan to have as a franchise?
But they were there. They were there 2 years ago, breaking up the team. They broke up the team after they got to the NLC. They were almost there. You know what I'm saying? They were in the NLCS. They lost to the world champion Dodgers.
I understand that, but last year, and then that's why it's. But then in 2025, they didn't break up the team. They gave it another run.
In 2025, they didn't even want to pay a lot. They didn't even want.
I understand that, but they
didn't. They want to let them walk. I don't understand.
Okay, what would the Mets' record be? What would the Mets' record be with Pete Alonso on the team this year?
It's not just Pete Alonso. It's all the other pieces you got missing.
Do you think losing Francisco Lindor to injury this year certainly impacted the team? Do you think losing Clay Holmes to injury impacted the team? Do you think Juan Soto being on the IL hurt? Do you think Polanco being hurt, affected their record?
I know Polanco was hurt. I know he's always often hurt. I shouldn't say always, because last year he wasn't. But he's often hurt. I know that Alonso plays every single day, day in, day out. I know that...
The Soto Orioles have 43 wins with Pete Alonso playing every day.
I understand that. Soto has no protection in this lineup.
Yet he's having an MVP season. He's having an MVP season.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, he is. Yes, that's correct. But
so then you just throw it out there that he has no protection in the lineup, yet it's not affecting him at all because he's having a monster year.
It's not right now because does it really matter? I mean, you know what I mean?
What do you mean, does it really matter? I don't understand what you're saying. You made it sound like he has no protection, so that's impacting him. Meanwhile, he's having an enormous year.
Well, he is now, but that's, we'll see how the rest of the year
What did you want the Mets to do in the offseason? What did you want their offseason to be? What did you want? You wanted Pete back, we know that. So then what else did you want to do?
I would have signed Edwin Diaz back.
Edwin Diaz would be on the shelf right for now. 3 months, and he has cockfight allegations against him. Do you think that would be a good situation to have right now?
Not right now, but...
Do you like the way Luke Weaver's pitched?
Luke Weaver's pitched all right, yeah.
No, he's not pitched all right. He's been unbelievable. He's not pitched all right. Good. He's been unbelievable. He's been unbelievable.
Yeah. Right. I'm not going to take that away from you. Okay. Do you want
Nimmo, McNeil, and Pete, just, you would have ran it back, essentially.
Yeah, running it back. I would have went after Bellinger.
Okay.
Right? I would have got another outfielder.
Okay.
Obviously, these Syracuse Mets are working out.
Yeah, I don't know why you have to continue to go back to the Syracuse Mets. By the way, Pete Alonso was in the minor leagues before he got to the major leagues. So
You're a devil you know versus a devil you don't.
You like guys because you recognize them for like 5 years. You never want to get rid of them. You don't want new players. You want the same old players every year.
No, I don't want this. I want a new team.
No, because you brought
year.
Up the Syracuse Mets. So you don't want to. You don't want a Jake DeGrom. You don't want a Pete Alonso. You don't want a David Wright. You don't want a Jose Reyes. You don't want anybody to come up from the farm system and be good?
I do, but that's not the guy.
And who's the Syracuse Mets? We're talking about two players, Benjamin and Ewing.
Benjamin Ewing, and we're talking about Robert.
But Robert is not a Syracuse Met, so I don't know what that has to do with anything.
No, my point is, you're defending David Stearns. Meanwhile, that was not his plan to bring these two guys up.
Yes, it was.
He was wanted Kyle
no,
Ben Tucker.
Was def- Ben was
Robert.
Always the plan. Ben was always the plan. And Ewing, at
Ben
some point, was going to be
after.
The plan.
Where were they going to put Ben?
In the outfield.
Where?
In right. I think the move was always to move Soto to left.
And where was Tucker?
I think Tucker was going to play first base, to be honest with you, and Polanco was going to DH.
They were going to get Tucker to play first base. Come on, he has an outfielder.
But he can play first base. He's a free base. He plays first base, too.
How many guys are you going to have playing out of position?
Okay. How many guys do they have right now playing out of position?
The first baseman and the third baseman and... Mm-hmm. Soto was really a right fielder.
Soto came up as a left fielder. He's played more games at left field. He's played more games in left field than right field in his career. So he's not out of position.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Classic, and I feel like that gave Stearns them the idea.
Okay,
you know?
So he's played left field more in his career than right field.
I don't see how.
Luis Robert Jr. is a center fielder by trade. He's a center fielder on the Mets.
Okay. Do you think at the end of this 3-year contract, that Bo Bichette is going to live out this amount of money he's paying?
Yes. Well, and I mean, guys are getting paid absolutely astronomical. You know, who the heck is worth $42 million?
The Mets are.
No, but I'm saying when you get paid the money that he's getting paid, and a lot of these guys are just getting way overpaid. So do I think Bo Bichette will produce? Yes. Do I think Bo Bichette will be the player he was in Toronto? Yes.
Do you think that Devin Williams, 3 years, was a good signing as well for $17 million a year, $51 million?
Yeah, I do. Would you rather have Edwin Diaz now sitting home hurt?
But you think the Mets will ruin?
I'll go back to it. How many times did the Mets make the playoffs with the core that they got rid of?
Twice.
Okay. And that 1 year that they made it, did they not collapse the division and then lose in the first round with the home field advantage to San Diego?
Yeah, they lost.
That's what they broke up.
Yeah, but you can't convince me that this team is better than it was the year prior.
So in your mind, they can't be better in a year or two. So meaning for the short-term loss, for the long-term game, you're not interested in that.
No, it's not. Where's the game? Where's my game?
You can't see the future of this team. You can't think about where this team could be in a couple of years. David Stearns was brought here to build up the farm system, which was garbage before he got here.
David Stearns, what do you think about the Peralta signing? Why didn't they go after a big-name pitcher?
What other big-name pitcher was out there that they could have got?
I don't know. Valdez. I don't know. There was a bunch of guys available.
Okay, they don't want to go long-term on pitchers. Now, look, when I think it comes to Skubal, guys like that, they should. Peralta led the National League in wins last year, and they traded for him, by the way. And it was the idea of, well, okay, are they going to sign an extension or not? And Valdez was sitting out there forever until the Tigers picked him up. And obviously there were concerns there with all the stuff with his catcher and that nonsense last year. So Framber Valdez wasn't exactly at the top of everybody's list to begin the year. He waited a very long time before he signed. Look, I'm positive, Tommy, but the reason I'm pushing back now is because I just think there's a lot of narratives out there and there's a lot of people just throwing things out there. But then when you challenge people on it, they're like, well, you know, just, you know, because they're parrots and they're parroting stuff they're hearing. Remember, in 24, they started out slow, they got hot, and they went on a great run. Got to factor that in a little bit, too. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. Mets, Yankees, whatever's on your mind for the final hour of the show. Gordon Damer comes your way at midnight. It is Lugie in the Late Night, After Hours here on The Fan.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze. Let's love.